Tonight, can anyone guess what I'd like to talk to you about?
No.
Trusting God. That's what I'd like to talk to you about tonight. You can tell by the hymns that we sung. Some of what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight, I've gotten a number of things out of this book, which is really, has anybody ever had a chance to read through this book, Trusting God by Jerry Bridges? It's really a phenomenal book on trusting God. Let me put the disclaimer in. You know, you'll probably find things in books that aren't perfect, because I have yet to find the perfect book. But as far as trusting God goes, this is an excellent book. He's much more detailed than I'm going to be tonight. It's basically a summary of my own study and some things that I got out of here. Well, hopefully, maybe in the future, we'll have an opportunity to all go through it. I don't know, but if you get an opportunity, I know it's in the library, to check it out. Well, the question is, can we really trust God? This has been a really big, this has been something that's been renewed in my thought life over the year. We've made some changes, big changes. I went from working to staying home, and school changes and really big things that I had to just renew my faith and my trust, and trust that these changes were for the better for me and for God's good, even though I enjoyed very much the work that I was doing. I had to trust that where the Lord took me out of and put me into was exactly what he wanted, and very quickly I'm seeing that it's such a blessing for me and my family, and just really many new ways of ministry that I have now in my home and in my community and in the new school. And just pray for me as I continue that and try to be a witness and a testimony in the schools to the teacher. And there are so many opportunities that I have that I didn't even know existed. And I praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you guys tonight by this study that sometimes our situations change. And it doesn't mean it's for the worse. It's usually for God's glory. And it's always for God's glory. But it's usually for our better, even though it doesn't look like it's heading in that direction. So let me share with you what I have tonight. Can we really trust God? Can we trust God when we lose our house, a job, or a loved one? Can we trust him when our car breaks down, or where we don't even know where our next meal is coming from? Is God really in control of my life? Like I said, I want to talk to you a little bit about this tonight. It's not easy to trust God in troubled times. We naturally want to get relief from our trials, and we want it as quick as possible. The minute we hit a trial, we want out of it. God's will for us is always reasonable and rational, even though it doesn't make any sense to us at the time. Sometimes it's easier for us to obey God rather than to trust him. It's easier to obey because God gives us clear instruction through his word in the Bible, what we are and what are not to be doing. But on the other hand, trusting God has no boundaries or instructions at all. Trusting involves the unknown, simply having faith, and it's unseen. When we disobey God, we question his authority. But when we fail to trust in God, we question his goodness. Can we trust God? There are really three truths that we must first understand about God. One is that he's sovereign. He has the power to do anything. God has the control to allow us to experience good things and also to go through calamity. Why? It's for our benefit. God is infinitely wise. He always knows what is best for us. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of his riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. And the third thing is God's love is perfect. He He always does what is best for us. In Lamentations 3:32, 33, and 33, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassions according to the multitudes of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. These verses are so full of God's love and mercy, even though we're going through rough times. Is God in control? God is in control, because he sustains all things. Colossians 1, there are many verses on how God's in control and how he sustains us in the earth. But I'm going to mention a couple. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Acts 17:25-28 also tells us that he made us all and sustains us. Nothing happens by chance, and God protects even the sparrows in Matthew 10:29-31. It reminds us of how much more our worth is to him. All of our hairs are numbered. So let's see how God is in control as we look at the following verses. Proverbs 15:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I'm sorry. Nothing happens that the Lord does not allow. This should give us great comfort when trials hit. Positive and negative experiences come our way for our good and his glory. If we're trying to please God in our life, we should not worry or fear. We should only fear when we're not doing right or we're out of God's will. Then we ought to tremble and run right back into God's protection. Looking back on trials that we've been through, such as a job or a house loss, they've always seemed terrible for the moment, but God has always given us better than what he allowed to be taken care of. And we've gone through both. We've gone through the house, having to lose the house. Not lose the house, but having to make a house change and jobs. My husband's lost his job in the past, and it's been an incredible journey that just brought us closer in trust and helped us in growing our faith. I do want to mention, before we go on, I do have copies of this. If you can't keep up with the verses, you're welcome to get a copy at the end of the evening. Proverbs 15:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Nothing happens that the Lord does not allow. This should give us great comfort when trials hit. I just read that, didn't I? Yep, I just read that. Let's move on. Sorry about that. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So we have many, many ways, many things that we think we ought to do, but really it's what the Lord wants is going to happen because he's in control. This is important so that we can understand why we are going through tough times. It isn't because someone is out to get us. Your trials are because God is working in you to conform you to be more like him. Philippians 2:13 tells us, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. I find it interesting that he puts those two back to back like that. So not only are we experiencing our hard times, but God commands us not to even complain about it. That's hard to think of. We want to complain, but no. He wants us to go through the trial and not complain about it. We need to evaluate if we really believe that God is in control of our life. How many times do we want to take the reins and take the control on a situation? Let me tell you that in my own life experiences, every time I tried to do that, it turned into a disaster. Well, why is that? Well, because we think we know everything, and we think that we know what's on the other side of a trial, or a common, or somebody else's life. But we really don't. And often things turn out in a very unique way that is obvious of God's hand, because no human could have ever done it as perfectly as God. You know what I'm talking about, those little miracles in our lives that only make heavenly sense and not earthly sense. I want to talk about some challenges for us in our relationship with God. One problem that makes it difficult to trust God is that we often think of God as a man who is on our terms and who thinks like us. We need to reflect on Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways," "neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." It is so important not to humanize God. We need to remember that He's all-knowing and all-powerful. God is not our buddy or our pal. He's our Creator, worthy of all honor and reverence when thought about, when spoken about, or when even prayed to. We forget that God has the same power and control that He did in Bible times. He has the same power to part the seas and rain down fire. God has that same power that He displays in your life when you fully trust in Him. When He keeps you safe from harm. When He provides a job for you. Or uses another person to bring just what you need right to your doorstep. All too often, we have the try God philosophy. Well, I tried this and that, and well, nothing worked, so let's try God. Let's see if God can do anything to help me out of this now. We can say we would never think this way, and of course we would never say that, but is it really true? Because every time we don't go to God first, every time we try to handle things our own way, isn't this exactly what we're doing? We need to stop putting God on our to-do list. We need to go to God first in prayer and in study. God has given us instruction, our instruction book for life, and He wants us to use it. He's not shut the door on our wants, our needs, our praises, our requests. He has given us the tool of prayer. We can never be restricted to use this free gift. We can pray anywhere, anytime, straight to God. And God has the power to answer our prayers. Another challenge for us is when we realize that God is in control. Is that some people think that God causes sin? Well, the answer to this is clearly no, because in James 1:13, 14, and 15, we see that this is clearly not the case. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God created us to make choices in life. God doesn't make anyone fall into sin. Man does that all on his own. God, however, will judge his behavior, and sin always brings destruction. God will judge sin and bring glory to himself in every circumstance, because we are created in his image and for his glory. He will not be mocked, and he will not allow his children to entertain themselves in sin without chastening. When we sin, we sever our relationship with God. God's desire is to lovingly discipline us so that we come back into his fellowship with him. Yes, God's in control. However, we also need to be careful of not being wise and being too carefree about the way we go about our lives. There are many choices and decisions that we make every day. God has given us liberty to do this. But we don't have to go down the road alone. If needed, God advises us to seek godly counselors. In Proverbs 15:2, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in multitude of counselors they are established." And when we seek counsel, we need to make sure, as in warned by Psalm 1, that we're seeking godly counsel, not worldly counsel. There are times also when we must work and do something, and there are times that we can simply cannot do anything and we just have to wait on the Lord. Let me give you an example. Let's say you lose your job and, well, you need to actually get out there and look for a job. Apply for it and tell as many people as you can. If you keep it a secret, you are not going to get a job and no one else is going to know that you even need one. But after you put in action your needs, you have to wait on the Lord because only the Lord is the one that's going to provide you that job. So some things we need, and some other things we need to completely depend on God for. Other times, he's already given us the means to do it. Okay, so why do bad things happen? It's hard to imagine that God really loves us when such tragedies occur daily in and around our lives. When a child suffers a terrible illness, or we get cancer, or something terrible happens to us, we need to remember that Satan walketh around like a roaring lion, waiting to whom he can devour. Why does it seem like some prayers go unanswered? God doesn't spare us from life's toughest times, but he does take the good and the bad to conform us to his image to be more like his son. So whatever happens to us, it's for our good. Let's look at Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. So let's talk about God's love. To really know God, we need to study the Bible and hide God's word in our hearts. Psalm 119:11, that was the very first verse that I was told to memorize, and I did. And it is so important to remember this verse, because we do need to remember God's word, and we do need to memorize it, because so often we need it in our daily lives. And we may not have the Bible handy, but if we have it in our heart, it's going to be there when we need it or need to help somebody else. So we need to hide God's word in our heart if we're really going to trust God's love for us. So often in our life, we don't see God working and we don't even feel him there. Sometimes God seems very hard, far away. But this is where faith comes in. We need to walk by faith and not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us. If we struggle in the area of faith, we need to ask God himself for it. Pray and ask him to help you to grow in this area, because trust is based on faith. We need to have faith in order to trust God. God gives us great examples on our level of his love for us. God uses the illustration of the most precious human bond between a mother and a child. You know, can someone read that for me? Anybody have their Bible open? Isaiah 49:14-15. Anybody? Jill? 49:14-15. This really struck me. I honestly have never read these verses before, and I just sat there bawling for like a half an hour. I was so overwhelmed by God's love and how this was a human example. When we think of the most precious and strongest human example, you usually think of a mother and a child as a human bond. But go ahead and read. Yeah.
Okay, but Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suffering child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee."
Yeah, that was pretty powerful. That's such a human example for us, that sometimes mothers will forget and abandon their children, yet God will never forget us. Even in that most precious bond there, God will never forget us. That's how much he loves us. We are just so incredibly precious to God. God is so merciful to us through his love. Lamentations 3:22-25. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and the Lord is good to them that wait on him, to the soul that seeketh him. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 32:10. He's not going to give us more than we can bear, and what he does allow us to go through, he will be merciful. God will help us. Let's see, Isaiah 43:2. This was really encouraging. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God's going to be with us through our trials, and he's going to help us. He promiseth this to us. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. In Hebrews 13, God again promises not to leave or to forsake us. In conclusion, trusting God is not dependent on how we feel. We need to trust God whether or not things are going well, regardless of our feelings. God cares for us and wants us to cast our anxiety and care on him. Let us be thankful and rejoicing in all things. We need to remember that in order to trust him, we must know him. Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. We need to search out the Lord. He loves us and has plans for our life. Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Even though God sometimes seems far away, he's not. God is not trying to trick us or pull the rug out from under us. He has a path and an expected end for us. God is trustworthy. Be sure to build a solid relationship with God through prayer and study and fellowship, hiding God's word in your heart, and good godly counsel, and you'll grow closer and learn to easily trust your Creator. The only way to peace is to stop complaining and trust in what God has for you today. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.